Well, good morning, Philadelphia. It's another beautiful morning, as we always say. And you know what? It always is a beautiful morning.
It truly is. It truly is. Nice and sunny out, and it's about 9:02 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Wake up, wake up.
Right.
Pathfinders Travel Radio Show at Word on the Weekend at 900 a.m. WRD. And you were about to say, PJ?
I was just going to introduce myself. I was going to say I'm PJ Thomas.
And I'm Weller Thomas. I'm so sorry.
Thank you so much. That's okay. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Saturday morning. We love it when you spend your Saturday morning with us. Sit back, have a cup of coffee, and or a cup of tea in some cases, and let's talk about travel. And we're going to be talking about travel today for a couple of hours.
Absolutely. Dr. Carroll is pulling one of our numbers. He's off traveling somewhere today. He contacted us and the station agreed. Sure, you guys can take 2 hours. So we're going to see if we can fill up your morning with some travel topics. On the promo earlier, PJ, I mentioned on Cody and Vicky's show that we're going to be talking about Black Paris. And we're going to have Monique Wells on, who's does these wonderful historical tours and just dwelling into Paris, talking about a lot of the artists from Miles Davis to Josephine Baker, where they live, where they performed. They've got some excellent, well, we always know France has got their culture, but the black scene there has really added some flavor,
right?
I think, to Paris. And
yeah, there's a lot of black expats. So I look forward to talking to Monique. She's, you know, fluent in French. She's been living there for quite a while now.
Absolutely.
And really knows Paris backwards and forwards. So I look forward to speaking with her.
Right. And, of course, in our second hour, we're going to be kind of flipping the script a little bit, talking about sailing. And Paul Mixon is someone we've known and have traveled with in the past, has been doing an event now for 15 years in the British Virgin Islands called BBS. And he's also recently moved down to Puerto Vallarta, I believe, as Vicky pronounced it, in Mexico. And he's having a blast. He's really living his life and living his dream. He's really an adventurer.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that. I know that there's people locally who have attended the Black Boaters Summit. So if you've attended the Black Boaters Summit, looking forward to you calling in and saying hello to Paul and telling us about your experiences in the second hour here of Pathfinders and the 10 to 11 hour. So we've got a lot going on. And we also want you to call in and talk about your Paris experiences. If you've ever been to France, if you've been to Paris, do you want to go to Paris? And just what is it about that whole French mystique that is still such a great allure for people that want to go to Paris?
Well, very, very much so. And especially you, because you made me promise you when we got married that I was going to take you to Paris.
Right.
It only took me about 15 years, but we did get it done.
That you were going to take me to France. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when we met, I was on my way to France. I was going to France to live and to study. So when we met 22 years ago,
yeah,
I was on my way to France, and he made a promise that if I didn't go and we got married, that he would take me one day.
So yeah,
we went for our 15th wedding anniversary a few years ago.
Yeah,
but had a nice time, had a wonderful time.
We did, and I may have a surprise for you. You may get to be going again soon. You never know.
You never know. But, you never know. But what's going on this
first
week?
Let me give out the call-in numbers. We definitely need to do that. Locally, it's 215-634-8065. And toll-free is 866-361-0900. And for you folks out of the area, God knows, we email folks each week in other cities that we know love travel. And even anticipating some calls from folks across the country. So, you know, if you're locked in at 900amwrd.com, you'll be able to do that as well.
Right, absolutely. So give us a call. Let's talk travel. Let us know what's going on in your world, no pun intended. But what is going on, or what went on, what took place this week?
Well, excuse me, I always got a dry throat in here, but I'm not so sure exactly what took place this week, PJ. You know, as we're in the middle of getting the production now, I really haven't myself taken a look at what's happening. I know there's some top 10 destinations that they listed in the Inquirer for Memorial Day weekend.
Like what?
Well, of course, number one is D.C. They're always pushing World War II Memorial. But those of you folks who like to travel out to Hawaii, of course, the USS Arizona, San Diego, which is another great naval city, and just a very picturesque city as well. New York made number four with the 9/11 Memorial Day Memorial there. Gettysburg, PA, Arlington, Virginia, of course, the cemetery there. And in Boston, they have the Granary Burying Ground, which I'm not too familiar with that.
The Granary?
The Granary. No. Yeah, the Granary Burying Ground. Seattle has their Memorial Park. Phoenix with the Arizona Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I don't know what that's about. And, of course, Long Beach, California with the Belmont Veterans Memorial Pier. So,
okay. Yeah. And nothing in there. Last week, if you were listening on the show, we had Anita Prather, Aunt Pearlie Sue, and she was talking about, she was down in the Sea Islands, and she was talking about down there celebrating what they call Decoration Day.
Right. Which is the forerunner to Memorial Day,
right.
I believe.
And she explained that they called it Decoration Day because, you know, people would go out and take care of the graves and put flags and everything on the graves. So they called it Decoration Day. But I see there's no mention of own top 10 next year.
Absolutely. Do a Pathfinder's top 10 for Memorial Day.
Absolutely. That's how Pathfinders got started. But let's talk about the jazz trip.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm happy to say we picked up three more travelers that are going to be going with us. A lady stopped by yesterday and got a call right at closing. So, folks, there's still time for you to go. We're leaving July 3rd, and we're going to be in Montreal for 5 days, traveling via Amtrak, leaving on the 3rd and returning on the 8th of July. We'll be staying at it's a beautiful Hyatt property in downtown Montreal, which is actually the host hotel. So we're looking forward to even some jam sessions in the hotel. A lot of the musicians will be staying there. You'll be within walking distance of a lot of the jazz venues, wonderful restaurants and shops and what have you. And the price is only $1,275, includes your transportation, your lodging, and we have a tour, actually, of Montreal as well.
Correct.
And just looking forward to just a really great time.
I had a very relaxing time going up on the train. As I said, I absolutely love train travel. And, you know, parts of that trip, particularly along, you know, Rhode Island, it's just absolutely gorgeous as the train goes out along the coast. So I'm looking forward to that and, of course, looking forward to meeting and traveling with the people that have signed up.
Absolutely. So, folks, you know, for more information, you can go to our website at www.pathfinderstravel.com, and you'll see, actually, you'll see a banner right on the homepage with a copy of the ad, but you can email us at info@pathfinderstravel.com, and we'll be glad to send you a registration form. Our number at the office is 215-438-2140. And just put in extension 104, and we'll be happy to talk with you. But, you know, folks, all you need is to pay your fee and have your passport ready, and we'll be glad to travel right on up into the what they call the northern part of America and into Montreal.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I was looking at this morning, and just let me give out the call numbers. We've got just a few minutes to take your call. 215-634-8065. And 866-361-0900. I listen to 900 AM WURD, Word on the Weekend, the Pathfinders Travel Show. And let us know if you have any questions or comments about Paris. If you want to call and get a couple of questions or comments on, and before we get our guest on, we'd just absolutely love to hear from you. And, you know, give us a call. The time is 9:12, And I'm not sure what the temperature is, but it's nice and sunny out. So anyway, the time and temperature is brought to you by Einstein Healthcare Network, where every second counts. Visit einstein.edu and give us a call here this morning at 900 AM WURD. And we thank Einstein for sponsoring the time and temperature check. And I guess we need to figure out what the temperature is. Okay. So do we have Monique on? Are we ready for Monique? I was trying to give our callers a chance to call in and maybe ask a question or two. But if we're ready to go, we've got Monique waiting, then we'll go ahead and start talking to her.
Bonjour, mademoiselle.
Can you hear me?
We sure can.
Loud and clear. How are you?
Oh, great. Okay, I'm fine. I didn't know if there was, I was a bit panicked because I didn't know if there was a number, you know, like, do I have to punch one or something?
Right. Say good morning to our listeners at 900 AM WURD.
Good morning, everyone. Bonjour. I am coming to you direct from Paris.
Okay, good. Monique, it's so good to hear from you. It's absolutely good to hear from you. Normally, this time of year, we would have met at the Travel Professionals of Color Conference, but I see that neither of us made it this year.
Exactly, and that's too bad, but I am just so thrilled to be with you on this show today. I was just telling my husband yesterday, I was reminiscing with him how long we have known each other and where we first met and everything, and I just can't tell you how pleased I am to be with you.
Thank you. I'm pleased to still be here.
Absolutely.
You know how the travel business has been in the past few years.
I know.
But tell us first, let's give us a little bit of background. You are originally from where?
Originally from Houston, Texas.
Okay, so how did one from Houston, Texas, how did a girl from Houston, Texas end up in Paris?
Well, I guess the sort of catalyst was a French class that I had when I was quite small. I heard this lady teaching French, and the music of the language just struck such a chord with me that I said to myself, I've got to learn how to speak this. I want my voice to sound this musical, and I want my sentences to rise and fall and, you know, just sing like that. And I've been obsessed, quote unquote, with the language since I was about 3 years old.
Really?
And yeah, it's been that long. And I studied French all my life when I was in school, from elementary all the way through college. And I got a minor in French at the University of Pennsylvania through my undergraduate education. And a few years later, when I had moved to California and was planning my first trip to Paris and was trying to call around and make hotel reservations, I was mortified that I could not make a hotel reservation on the phone.
Because you couldn't speak the language.
Because I couldn't, well, I mean, I knew the language and theoretically I could speak it, you know, but I couldn't speak it in normal conversation.
Right. It's so different when you're learning a language in the classroom and then you actually get to the country and talk to somebody and they come back at you 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the phone adds a whole different dynamic to that. And then if the person you're talking to has an accent, I don't mean just a French accent, but a French accent that's not the strict French that you learn when you're in school, then that just compounds things. And I felt horrible when I hung up that phone after that first conversation, and I thought to myself, okay, I've got to move someplace where I can speak this language on a daily basis. Otherwise, I have wasted my life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made it a goal to move here, and fortunately for me, a couple of years later, a job position opened up, and I came here in 1992.
And it's not that easy, though, being able to get a job in a country like France. They have a lot of strict rules, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. You must have permission to work. If you're going to do it right, okay, you must have permission to work. And in order to do that, you either have to marry somebody who's French or you have to have somebody sponsor you.
Okay.
So
okay.
A company has to say, you know, we can only fill this position with this person. We've already looked in the French population. We don't find anybody with that particular skill set. Then we've looked in Europe and we don't find provide anybody with that particular skill set, so we've got to go to the U.S. and bring this person over. And you can imagine how difficult that would be.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
So, Monique, did you tell them that you were a cowgirl from Texas and that you brought special skills to the table?
Well, I did tell them that I brought special skills, but not those particular ones.
Wow. Well, you know, it's funny. I'm just going to ad lib here. This is why I told PJ, listen, don't go. Don't go, baby. We're going to get married, and then I'll take you later. Because I knew it was going to be hard trying to find work in France.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, Monique, so tell us about, you know, starting your business. And you've written a couple of books. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the business, first of all.
Well, my husband and I have a business. My husband's name is Tom, Tom Reeves. Okay. I'm Monique Wells. Mm-hmm. We have a business called Discover Paris. And we started that business because of the very reason that we've just been talking about. Tom came over here 3 months after I moved here. We got married here. Tom was not sponsored by a company to come over and work, so he had to fend for himself and was unable to find work, was unable to find gainful employment in his profession at that time. He was working as a cost control analyst. And so when we moved here, unemployment was rampant. I mean, it was like 13%.
Mm-hmm. What year was
and
this?
This was 1992.
Okay.
And so after spending a couple of years, literally, trying to find work in the, you know, regular corporate or small business arena, doing what he does, he decided he was going to do something entrepreneurial, dabbled in a few things, don't have to go into the details of that, but decided upon a travel planning service modeled after a business that we used to visit Italy, mm-hmm. which was Insiders Italy, mm-hmm. and got to know the person who ran that business. And the woman was living in London at the time, an American woman who was half Italian. She invited us to dinner and was saying, you know, I really think you guys should start an Insiders France. And Tom piped up and he said, well, my idea is Insiders Paris. We don't even need to do France. We know Paris, and Paris is infinite, and so we're going to do that. And he said, but we don't want to call it Insiders Paris. I think we should call it Discover Paris. And I'm sitting there like, what? You've been, how long have you been thinking about this?
What is that?
Like,
what is it in France? Voila! A business is born.
And so that's how we started it. And I mean, you know, obviously we didn't turn over the next day and start it, but we started putting things into place. And it was another about a year after that that we launched the business and have been going strong since 1999.
Okay.
Wow, good to hear.
So tell us how it works. So I'm sitting here in Philadelphia. I want to go to Paris, and I call or connect with you guys online, like so many people probably do at this point, mm-hmm. and call Discover Paris. Now, what do you do for me? You know, tell me about the services.
Okay. Well, we are 100% occupied with what you are doing once you touch down mm-hmm. on French soil. So we're not a travel agency in that we don't book airfares, and you know, largely we don't do hotels either. We will do them if you book a certain kind of package from us, but we're not the travel. We're not getting you here. We're occupied with what you're doing once you arrive.
Okay.
So you leave, and we started out as 100% customized itineraries that were self-guided. So what that meant was you would fill out a questionnaire that we have online, tell us what interests you about Paris, and we would put together an itinerary based solely on those interests. So we really created a boutique business right from the beginning, and it wasn't that, you know, if it's Monday, it's the Eiffel Tower, or if it's Tuesday, the Louvre. If you had no interest in going to the Eiffel Tower, we wouldn't breathe the word Eiffel Tower to you. Mm-hmm. You were to give us information about what you specifically wanted to do, what you were interested in, and we would put together a trip around that. So an example would be, we've had some pretty interesting requests over the years. We had a woman write to us. She was the mother of two boys. She and her husband and her two boys were coming. They were preteens, and she wanted her children to have scientific activities while they were here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she herself was interested in photography, so she wanted to know where she could take the best pictures in Paris, and she also wanted to know where the best bakeries were.
Mm-hmm. That's very specific. She really knew what she wanted to do.
She really knew what she wanted to do, and we endeavored to put that trip together for her. Now, unfortunately, at the last minute, her husband was transferred to a new job, and they ended up moving to the new city instead of coming to Paris.
Okay. But you got that research.
Right.
Yeah.
So that gives you the idea of how specific, you know, we were, how specifically we were delving into the city. And, you know, so we are so passionate about the city. This is the kind of thing that we want to do for people. We want to uncover all these little nuggets for you. Now, fast forward to the second.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Monique. We got to go to break. Just hang tight. Okay. We're going to come back to you.
Yeah, put a pin in that.
But this is very interesting. So hold on. Okay. We're at WRD 900 AM at Word on a Weekend.
Many in Philadelphia are finding it hard to pay all their bills right now. At PGW, we get it. That's why we launched Helpability. From our no-fee online bill pay to payment programs and a free bill analyzer, we're giving you more ways to take control. That's Helpability, and that's how PGW works with you. If you've fallen behind or received a shutoff notice, don't ignore it. Contact us today. Visit www.pgworks.com, drop into a customer service center, or call 215-235-1777.
May is Small Business Month, and on the day of Malcolm X's birthday, FraserNet Inc. 3 becomes 1 to unite and promote cash mobs in 7 major cities. Nationally recognized entrepreneur George Fraser, CEO of FraserNet, Maggie Anderson, CEO of the Empowerment Experiment, and Black business advocates launched their first cash mob, an event that will demonstrate the economic value and benefit of supporting local, quality Black-owned businesses. The cash mob operates the same way as a flash mob, but with one major difference. Instead of flashing, the mob will be spending cash at a Black-owned business. Participants in the cash mob will spend at least $20 at local Black businesses in 7 cities this coming Saturday between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Philly will cash mob Black and Nobel Health, Wealth, and Literature, located at 1401 Erie Avenue in Philadelphia. Also featured will be a networking mob mixer from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Champagne, 21 East Shelton Avenue. Join cash mobbing this Saturday, May 19th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Black and Nobel Health, Wealth, and Literature, 1401 Erie Avenue. Call 267-688-1582 or 267-244-3860 for more information, or visit www.frasernet.com or www.eefortomorrow.com and click on Cash Mob for details and registration.
Did you know that smoking and electrical hazards are the leading cause of fire deaths in the city, followed closely by children with matches and careless open flames? Smoke alarms are considered one of the best and least expensive means of providing an early warning of a potentially deadly fire. Smoke alarms do save lives and make wonderful gifts. During this period, we wish everyone would test their smoke alarms and change the batteries. This important message is brought to you by Fire Commissioner Lloyd Ayers.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Making Home Affordable from the U.S. government has already helped many struggling homeowners. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
listening to the Pathfinders Travel Radio Show on WRD. This is Word on the Weekend, and we're at 900 AM WRD, speaking with Monique Wells over in Paris, France. Call-in numbers, and call-ins, we know that a lot of you have traveled to Paris. Feel free to call in and say hello to Monique, ask any questions you may have. Locally, the number here is 215-634-8065 and toll-free 866-361-0900. Now, Monique, do you know what that song was?
Now that's an unfair question.
See, she's a youngster.
She's a youngster.
Yes, she is. But that was Count Basie's version, as you know,
of April in Paris. Yeah.
Even though it's May, we thought it'd be a nice touch for you.
Yeah. But Monique, I want to just. I know we said we were going to put a pin in that, but while we were just talking about Count Basie, I wanted to say that you also do specialized tours, African-American tours, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We've built a big business around the African-American history, culture, and contemporary life in Paris, and I've actually expanded that recently to include the entire African diaspora, so not only African-Americans, but people from the French Caribbean, people from Africa itself. Because obviously if they're not in Africa, they are now in diaspora.
Right.
So yes, we've developed a phenomenal number of offerings, private guided walks and museum visits and various other things around that.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to speak about the United States diaspora experience, because so many of our artists went to Paris back in the 20s. Josephine mm-hmm. Baker, who else?
Well, in the 20s, all I know would be Josephine, but I know later on.
In the 30s, in the 40s?
You know, everyone from Duke Ellington to Miles Davis. Oh my goodness!
What's it, Dizzy Gillespie? Yeah, I mean, he just took France by storm.
Yeah, and even Charlie mm-hmm. Parker. So I mean, there's mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk for an hour about how many jazz artists have gone there. But you know, also I know a lot of folks that are into the arts period.
The writers, you know, James Baldwin, Richard Wright,
and the dancers, mm-hmm. and right. it just seems like it was such a liberating place.
So, yes. Tell us about that. Do you touch on that at all during any of your tours?
Oh, sure. And I want to say that this is precisely, this was developed. I developed these tours and these activities precisely because of what I was talking about before. People want to see Paris reflected in their own interests. Mm-hmm. And African Americans want to see the Paris, or they want to learn about the Paris that attracted so many of us over the years, over the decades, over the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I created these walks and these activities. So, yes, we have, God, I guess probably 11 or so different private guided tours on different aspects of African-American Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of tours that delve specifically into, or at least, I won't say delve specifically into because that's not the only subject that we touch on, but are largely focused on the interwar era. So between World War I and World War II, that's when a lot of African Americans came here to perform mm-hmm. jazz. And so there's a walk that I do, and it's an off the beaten path kind of a walk. So you're not going to be in, it's not the sort of glorious Champs-Élysées Paris. That particular walk is in a neighborhood that is definitely off the beaten track. You mm-hmm. will see the Moulin Rouge mm-hmm. when you're in that neighborhood. That, in fact, that's where we generally end up. But that would be the only sort of landmark that you would know. Otherwise, you're really walking the streets of Paris and learning and seeing where these people had their little club over here, and the other one was two blocks up the street, and the other one was a half a block over here. And you can get a feel for how intimate that area was. Now, I did mention the Champs-Élysées. We do have a tour that covers the Champs-Élysées and the area around it. And jazz was important over there, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people don't know. But jazz was very important in and around the Champs-Élysées as well. And in fact, off the Champs-Élysées, is a street. It happens to be a fashion street, so you get two birds with one stone.
Oh, now, you know, as African-American women, you know, we've got to take in the fashion. And I know that you know where all the, not just the high fashion, but where we can get some deals. You know, we've got to come to Paris, and we've got to be able to get some deals. And what better than seeing it like a Paris insider?
Oui,
oui. Right. Exactly.
And, but that, exactly. You know, you just touched on, that's how I imagined Paris. I always wanted to come. And I told Weller I wanted to sit on the Champs-Élysées and just have a cup of coffee and just, you know, and then I wanted to go and to sit where James Baldwin sat and write, you know. And like you say, just kind of follow their footsteps and imagine Paris during that particular time. Yeah. But this sounds absolutely wonderful. But tell us about food. You've talked about fashion. Do you do anything around food?
Yes, yes, yes. We do things around food. You know, excuse me, Pam, you know that we met because of my cookbook, Food for the Soul.
Yes, 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 yes.
Remember that so many years ago?
Absolutely did.
And my love affair with food started long before I moved to Paris. But when I came to Paris and just plunged myself into all the French cuisine and particularly the pastries and the chocolates and all of that, and then found myself craving food from home. That was a big sort of blow to me that sort of indicated that my honeymoon period with Paris was over.
I had to and go back to Texas and get some real cooking.
Right. Right. But I started my food journey in Paris looking for those ingredients that were going to allow me to make African-American dishes here. And from that, and so that's how I wrote my book. So then from that, I was able to say, you know, okay, now I know where I can get the stuff that I need to make my mama's Miss Grace's chicken or, you know, some gumbo or whatever. So now I can relax and I can start to enjoy French food again.
Mm-hmm.
And so with regard to Discover Paris, we have put together some fabulous walks on, we call them our gourmet itineraries. And we focus on market streets for the most part, or market neighborhoods, where you can get all manner of gourmet items. And they're not necessarily upscale. They just seem gourmet to us because mm-hmm. this is a way, we're not used to eating this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems exotic, even if it's normal for the French.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, let's see, I guess it was the last day of March. There was a group of African Americans who came from, mostly they came from California. There were some other people intermixed in there. But we did a walk on the Île Saint-Louis, which is a tiny little island in the middle of the Seine River. The Seine mm-hmm. runs through Paris, sort of bisects it.
Mm-hmm.
And the main street on that island has just so many boutiques that are food related. So it's a very, very short distance, but we stopped along the way. We talked about crepe, which is Americans say crepe.
I was going to say, we say better known as crepe.
Right.
You just right. blew it for me. I've been saying crepes for years.
That's pronounced crepe.
Everybody says. So yeah, it's crepe. Okay. And we talk about crepe, and we talk about French cheeses, and I mean, there's hundreds
now,
of cheese.
What do you mean you talk about them? Are you able to sample the stuff?
Well, at the end, Weller, because you know, if you were, if we stopped in every store along the way and sampled, we would only get to like two or three.
Is that right?
Because there's so much.
Right,
so,
right.
The way that this is designed is we just walk down the street. I point out all the places that could potentially be of interest, and then you work your way back and you go where you want. This is a group.
Right.
Okay,
and shop.
I like that.
Yeah, shop where you want to shop. Now, can you still bring back food? I know everything's changed so much. So if you were to buy something like a particular cheese or something in France, would you be able to bring that back with you?
Sure.
Yeah, you can, but it has to be vacuum packed. And Well, first of all, some cheeses are so odoriferous, we will say.
Right. That you don't want to bring those on the plane.
You don't want those in the, no, you don't want those in the passenger part. You can smell up the hole.
Right. If you,
oh, goodness.
But no, some things you can bring back cheeses as long as they're vacuum packed. You have to remember that a lot of cheeses are made with raw milk, which is something that, you know, Americans are not used to.
Right.
And, you know, this kind of thing. So really, all you need to do is just inform yourself a little bit ahead of time, thinking about what you want to bring back. Obviously, you can't bring back bottles of wine unless they're in the hold.
Right.
And there's a, you know, because people used to be able to bring them onto the plane with them. You can get them in duty free. But if you're looking to buy in Paris itself, you've got to really think about that so that you'll know how to pack to get back.
Okay.
But having said all of that, yes, you can bring things back.
Now, Monique, we have a caller on the line, and we just want to take a call, and perhaps she has a question or two or a comment about Paris. We're for Beverly at Nicetown.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Hi, good morning.
Good,
Beverly.
Oh, great to hear you. I've been listening, Weller and Mrs. Weller. Great program, excellent program, excellent guest.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Monique, I have a friend of mine left yesterday for Paris, a Miss Denise, I can't think of Denise King.
Uh-huh.
Paris, and she's an excellent, excellent jazz singer, as we always say, who deserves a recording contract.
Uh-huh.
I just want to visit her. You are just the one to tell us where to go, the black side of Paris.
Well, the black side of Paris, that's a bit, that's an interesting concept. Everyone thinks that there's a black side of everywhere. There is actually a neighborhood in Paris that is populated by a huge number of black people, but they're not African Americans. They are mostly Africans from different countries. From the Francophone countries,
okay.
Yes. So we're talking Senegal, we're talking Mali, we're talking Cote d'Ivoire, some people from Congo.
Mozambique?
Yeah, but not so many Mozambicans in town. I mean, the three countries that I just named are the majority of the African populations here.
Okay.
And the neighborhood is not... It's not glamorous by any means. I mean, it's really a working class neighborhood. It is actually undergoing gentrification right now, and people are being moved out.
Okay, okay.
So,
where would you recommend you have the hotel accommodations, and you would take us through the food tasting, the markets, the what to purchase, and what we can bring back and not bring back aboard? If you were just speaking about the cheese.
Yes. No, I can do all of that. And regarding the hotel accommodations, because we started out as a business working with individuals, couples, and small groups being defined up to six, we only do hotel accommodations if you buy a specific package from us, which is called our complete travel plan. So that means that, and you have to be a group of that size.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What, six or more?
Six or fewer.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you have a bigger group, then we can make recommendations for you, but you will be responsible for making those reservations yourself or giving our recommendations to a travel agent stateside, and that person can do that part of your trip for you.
Well, Monique, I'm interested in if there'll be a party of four ladies. Perhaps we can get six, but we know we believe we have four.
But you know what I'm going to do?
Four is enough.
You know what I'm going to do, Monique? I'm going to let you give out your website and your email address.
Okay.
And Beverly, you're on the internet, right?
I'm waiting with my pen to write.
Okay, very good.
Great.
Give out your email address and your website to Beverly just before we go to another break so that she and other listeners can contact you directly.
Okay. Our web address is www.discoverparis.net. And our email address is info@discoverparis.net. So we do have on our website a questionnaire that you can fill out. You can give us all the details about what it is that you want to do, or you can send us an email directly at info@discoverparis.net, and we'll be happy to help you.
Okay.
Okay, Monique, we're going to go to a break again, so just hang tight. I'm glad you're sitting back. You're probably eating cheese and drinking wine.
And Beverly, because it's afternoon there, let's qualify that. Beverly, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for your excellent programming.
Okay, and keep listening, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I'm going to talk to Monique some more.
I was on combat duty when I got injured. After extensive rehab and learning how to use a wheelchair, I started looking for an apartment, but many units had steps and narrow doorways. I fought for freedom and thought I would be free to choose where I live.
My husband and I are blessed with two young children. Recently, we thought we had found the perfect apartment online, but the listing said no children. Our dream was to have a family, but now that we've found our dream home, we're being denied because we are a family.
After the phone interview, we assumed the apartment was ours.
But when we showed up, the manager was quick to say it's no longer available.
These individuals all experience some form of housing discrimination. If it happens to you, know what to do. Be informed and aware of your rights. The only way to stop housing discrimination is to report it. Take action and visit hud.gov/fairhousing or call HUD's Housing Discrimination Hotline at 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
There are many debt relief plans and scams out there. So if you find yourself with $10,000 or more in credit card debt, get the facts about legitimate debt relief solutions available to you. Call American Credit Card Solutions for a free informational kit that will tell you about your options in simple, easy-to-understand language. The kit is free, the shipping is free, and the consultation is free. Call now, 800-648-4545. There's no hard sell and no pressure. The free informational kit can be mailed to you today so you can examine all the debt relief options available with no one pressuring you to make a quick decision. Call now for your free debt relief kit. Call 800-648-4545. This is a first-come, first-serve offer and kits are limited. So call right now for your free debt relief informational kit. 800-648-4545. That's 800-648-4545.
4-5-4-5. Back with Word on the Weekend on Pathfinder's Travel Radio Show, and we've gone French this morning. We're talking to Monique Wells, and Monique, I'm going to give you another hint. That was Miles Davis.
Yes,
recording.
I knew that.
Oh, you knew that one. Okay.
And I'm sure that there are various spots in Paris that Miles probably performed.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
But Monique, tell us about the jazz scene there now. I expect there's still a terrific jazz scene in Paris, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. There are many, many venues where people can go to listen to jazz. A lot of them are, let me think. Some of them are fairly upscale. Most of them, actually, though, are much smaller, more intimate little clubs where you really get a sense of what it must have been like back in the day.
Yeah, right.
And there are lots. I will say that when you come here and when you go to these places, a lot of what you will hear is you'll hear French artists performing jazz. There are a fair number of African Americans who perform here, but a lot of what you will hear is music performed by French artists, and they are fantastic. Mm. Okay, so I don't want people to think that if they come here and they happen to come across performance that, you know, it's a French artist, that they shouldn't go.
Right,
because,
right.
You know, the music is universal, and France fell really, really hard for jazz when it was introduced here during World War I. Mm-hmm. And they have taken that and they have flown off with it.
And truly embraced it.
They really have.
Well, Monique, we have another caller, and we have Tahia in North Philadelphia. Good morning, Tahia.
Good morning. Good morning, Weller. Good morning, Pam. Hello.
Hi. Hello. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. I'm loving your show as usual.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
And I was calling because I was wondering, in the 80s, my husband and I used to live in London, and then we would go over to Paris. And one of the places we used to go to was Haynes Restaurant, which was a brother from South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. He's there, a soul food restaurant. And I'm not sure if it's still there, because I would imagine he would probably be in his 80s now.
Well, I can tell you about Haynes Restaurant, and I can tell you about Leroy Haynes. He was actually from Kentucky, not from South Carolina. His restaurant, he died in 1986. His widow kept the restaurant going, but Haynes Restaurant actually closed in 2009. Unfortunately, it was the longest standing African-American restaurant in Paris. It was in existence for over 50 years.
Wow. Yeah, we wrote about that. We wrote about it several years ago in Pathfinder. Somebody brought it to our attention, but it did close.
It did close, unfortunately.
Wow. Oh.
So as of today, there are no African-American-owned restaurants in Paris.
Wow, there's a business opportunity out there, someone.
For somebody, yeah.
It was a wonderful restaurant. It was just wonderful to go there. 50 years, that's quite a legacy.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Tahi, and keep listening.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Now, I was going to ask, we were going to ask about the Moulin Rouge.
Yes, the Moulin Rouge.
We've always heard about that. Of course, I'm probably not even pronouncing it correctly. How do you pronounce it in France?
It's Moulin.
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 Uh-huh.
Not Moulin. That's money. It's Moulin, I would say like lamb, but without the MB.
Okay.
And Rouge? Is it
Moulin Rouge? Rouge.
Moulin
Rouge is right.
Rouge. Okay.
Rouge is right. So the Moulin Rouge started out as sort of like a music hall cabaret over 100 years ago. Okay. And actually, for their 100th anniversary, they had Ray Charles and Ella Fitzgerald perform there.
My goodness.
Wow.
But they've had a lot of African-American groups or even individuals performing there over the years since the 20s. So, for example, the show Blackbirds of 1928, they performed there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And various people, you know, just throughout the years have performed
there. So it's still open?
It's still open, yeah.
Okay,
wow,
okay, good.
Close.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely have to put that on our, you know, kind of like going to the Tropicana in Cuba.
Exactly.
You know, that's one of those places you want to say that you visited.
Now, Monique, we have another caller. You're very popular this morning. We have Dave down in Delaware. Good morning, Dave.
Dave in Delaware.
What's up, my favorite traveling group?
All right, what's up,
good
Dave?
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, dear, and I love to hear about traveling, because traveling is good for your spirit and soul.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
yes it is.
I'm like the lady that said, I was intrigued about the stew when I was very young. I don't know what it is, but it was something about, I was drawn to the how they feel about life.
Right, and, right. What's the expression they have, Monique, about life?
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
See, I can speak a little French.
Which translates into what, Monique?
That translates into that's life, but we're probably more thinking about la vie est belle, which means life is beautiful.
La vie.
That's right. So,
I like that one.
And I like that word moulin, too. I need plenty more of that. That money goes right with traveling.
Right. But Monique, let me ask you about the Left Bank of Paris. What's so significant about the Left Bank?
The Left Bank is where the intellectual side of Paris grew up. We're talking like 12th century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is where the universities grew up, and they were, at the time, they were all open air universities in fields, and the students would come and sit on the grass or pull up bales of hay and be taught. And they were taught in Latin, which is why this area is called the Latin Quarter.
Uh-huh.
So over the centuries, this area just became the place where learned people hung out.
Okay.
This is where the Sorbonne is. There are lots of universities in the 5th arrondissement, which is where the Latin Quarter is largely concentrated. And so when African Americans started to move to Paris after the Second World War, the writers and the intellectuals, they congregated in this area because these universities were here, because the learned people were here, because French people who were interested in books and in publishing, this is where all of that is centered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what does it look like today?
It looks largely the way it looked when they were here. I mean, Paris doesn't change much in the way that in the sense of the buildings and the streets. What changes is who's in those streets.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. What's the vibe, as we say? What's the energy like on the left bank?
The energy on the left bank is always vibrant. It's always scintillating. There's always something going on. There is music here as well. Don't get me wrong. It's not that it's just books and learning. There is tremendous variety with regard to the types of restaurants that you're going to have here. So if you come to the left bank, it's not the glittery, glamoury Paris of the Champs-Élysées. It's a mm-hmm. totally different vibe, but I like it much, much better.
Okay.
Because the streets are old and windy in certain areas. You can still have that medieval feel to the city. When you're close to the river, you can see Notre Dame. It looks right over onto Notre Dame Cathedral. And so you've got the best of the old and the best of the new.
Very good. Well, Dave, I didn't want to usurp all of your time. Did you have another question for Monique?
Yes. One of my favorite entertainers at all times. I took my mother before she passed away to see it was Donna Summers. I love Donna Summers. And it was something about how she performed. She was just you could see her spirit. She was just a great singer, but she had something about her that was like a life free spirit. And it's something that I find that I'm drawn to, people that enjoy life, see life for what it is.
Well, you've got to go and pay Monique a visit. And what was that French word again about the love of life, something bell?
La vie est belle.
La vie est belle. La vie est belle.
Well, Dave, I'll say this to you. We're going to probably do a trip to Paris. We want you to come join us, and we're going to enjoy life.
I think I'm going to go with you because my older sister been there. And her husband, before she passed, she loved it.
Okay.
And I'm retired. I'm looking for some. Looking for some people that
love life.
So I think I'm in good hands with y'all people.
Okay.
So,
all right.
All right. Have
much love.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Well, Monique, we still got a few more minutes, but just continue on. Tell us about some of your other tours.
And then tell us about the new book that's online. That's what I want you to tell us before we get off. You've got a new book?
Yes, I do. This is an e-publication at present.
Mm-hmm.
We're going, and it's in PDF format, and it's available on our website. It's called Black Paris Profiles.
Okay.
And what it is a compilation of 16 profiles that I've done for contemporary African Americans and Afro-Caribbeans who are living in Paris right now, today, along with me. We are making the history of tomorrow, and I want people to know about the stories behind who's living in Paris today. We're not all artists. We're not all musicians. We're doing a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And so I've got 16 stories, and 10 of them are about women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is particularly important because when you read about Black Paris, 99% of the time you're reading about men. People just don't bring forth the stories of women the way that they bring forth the stories of men. And I am aiming to reverse that trend, at least in my day and time. So whenever I find a woman who is living here and doing great things, I'm going to try to write about her.
Okay.
And And so the Black Paris Profiles is available on the website, www.discoverparis.net/store, S-T-O-R-E, dot H-T-M-L. And if you go there, you can see that there's a list of publications. It says about halfway down the screen, it says other publications. And at the end of that row, it says Black Paris Profiles.
Okay.
So people can buy that, and it's only $9.97. It's really a steal.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
And also we can find you, of course, on Facebook.
Yes.
Go on Facebook and friend you there and, you know, carry on conversation. So,
yes.
You know, Facebook /
Entree to Black Paris.
Entree to Black Paris. Okay, good. I had someone that called me earlier this week, and they were trying to find you. And I said, oh, she's on Facebook for sure. So, you know, we went through it and found you. Bonique, thank you so much. Merci, merci, merci beaucoup.
Well, it was a great pleasure.
Now, are you coming back to the States anytime soon?
I will actually be in the States in June. I am going to Houston to see my family, okay. And I'm going to Boston for a meeting. And so I'll be in the U.S. in June for about 2 weeks. I'm actually going to be there through the 4th of July.
Well, okay. Come on down to Philly. We'd love to take you out for some crepes?
No, we won't take you for crepes. We'll take you somewhere for some cornbread and barbecue chicken, some
greens
and candy.
That's what I'm
talking
about.
Yes.
Okay.
You can get the crepes when you go back. Thank you so much for joining us and enjoy the rest of your beautiful day in Paris. I hope it's as beautiful there as it is here today.
It is. It is. Okay. Thanks so much for having me. We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We were just talking to Monique Wells of Discover Paris, and lovely, lovely conversation, lovely, lovely people. So the next time we go to Paris, we're definitely going to have to make sure. We always seem to miss each other. The couple
yes.
of times we've been to Paris, she's been here in the States. We've
right.
always kind of missed each other. But hopefully one of these days we'll be able to catch up with her in France.
Well, I know how we can solve that. We'll just go ahead and book a trip and retain her services.
That's right. That's right. Make sure she's there. We'll make sure she's there.
Absolutely.